Oh, welcome everybody. It's good to see you all here at this time of family celebration as the Church of Prydygate comes to Atherington to look at something in God's Word and what maybe He's saying to us at the moment. So, as I mentioned yesterday evening, the talks for this week are based on this particular book. It's You Can Really Grow by John Hindley. Now, John Hindley is the pastor at Broad Grace Church, which is in Coltishall in Norfolk. And as I said last night, I have spoken to John. He knows what we're doing, and he's quite happy for us to tear it apart and do all sorts of things with it. So they're based around this whole theme of growing as a Christian. Now, there are four talks, again, as we mentioned last night, and this is the first one, which we've called Standing Still is Not an Option. What is it that enthuses you, that makes you eager about stuff? What do you get excited about? The kind of hobbies, maybe, that you do. Now, from my point of view, I won't get too excited about things at my age, but, you know, I get enthused sometimes about golf. Don't know why, because as Alan can testify, I can't play the game very well. Modelling. Now that's not modelling, that's building plastic models and so on, yes, okay? And sometimes occasionally gardening. Now, some of us can get enthused about those things, or other things as well. Work can enthuse us sometimes. We want to do well or whatever we do. Holidays are always a good thing to get excited about, aren't they? Times with the family. Selling stuff on eBay. Yeah. Other sites are available, I think, for that one. And then maybe, has anyone got anything that enthuses them that just like to shout out something before we move on?
Cycling.
Reptiles.
Food.
Ipswich Town.
That doesn't count. Ipswich Town is an old proper football team. So there's lots and lots of different things, aren't there? But here's a question for us. Do we have that same eagerness and excitement? And are we enthused in the same way when it comes to our Christian life? And I think there are times when that's quite a definite, for me, quite a definite no, not really. And there are times, aren't there, when situations that we face weigh heavily upon us, when sometimes pain is hard to bear, when responsibilities that we have, maybe in the family or work or just in Christian life, overwhelm us. And in such times, as in others, there may be no great eagerness to grow in our faith. If a friend asked me how I have grown as a Christian over the past year, I'm not sure that that answer would come easily. So I offer you this first thought for this morning. If you were asked how you have grown as a Christian in the past year, how would you answer? At this point, I'm going to say, during these talks, there's not going to be any real time for discussion, but I want to throw out things like this that you may feel you'd like to go away and talk about with someone else, or just consider, or to pray over. Okay, so these act as prompts, really, for the time we have together. So if you were asked how you had grown as a Christian in the past year, how would you answer? You know, when we became Christians, we wouldn't realise that life had to be different. That there were many things, maybe, that needed changing. And it's quite possible that family, friends, colleagues may well have noticed the difference in us as we grew in our faith, so that our behaviours, our lifestyle, our language also changed. Now, for some of us, that was a long time ago, as I mentioned again yesterday evening. For some, it was many, many years ago. For others, there's still that first flush of being a follower of Jesus And it's still a major driving force in their lives. But for those of us who have been Christians for longer, do we still have that thirst to know him more and to grow in the way that God wants us to? We've got that whole range here at Atherington of Christian experience. And if you have that Christian experience, if you've had that encounter with Christ, you will know that deep down we ought to be growing. And if you find that actually it's become difficult, you'll know also that you used to grow. And wherever we are on the timescale of Christian life, we are told to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Okay? And Frey, who's done a terrific job here on the old computer, we'll find that for us. And while she's doing that, prayer, I'll carry on reading, if that's okay. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, we read this. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, now and forever. Amen. Now this is Peter's final command to the church. And that command is to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. To grow in our trust of his love for us. Regardless of who we are, what our position might be in any church hierarchy, what our responsibilities are, how long we've been Christians, we ought to be growing. But I think here's the crux of the problem, isn't it? Do we know what it means by grow? Do we know what it means to grow as a Christian? So my second thought is that, what does it mean to grow as a Christian? Now, I would imagine that many of you, before you came here, had a list of things you had to bring or take, or a list of things to do. Am I correct?
Yep.
And when you got that list, you went through it, you ticked off, it came along. Now, if we're not careful, the Christian life looks a bit like a list of do's and don'ts. And if we have that view of things, then it's slightly odd. And we'll come to that later. We all have lists, don't we? We have lists at home. I mean, we have lists and we have a list of lists to ensure that all the lists that we've listed are listed properly. I was looking at a couple of websites that headlined Christian growth, and I want to read some of these. I'm going to make no comment about them, I'm going to read it to you. This was what someone says to encourage Christian growth. Join a church and get involved. Become part of a Sunday school, a discipleship group, a choir, a welcome team, hospitality, or small group ministry. Find a ministry in your community. For example, call a community centre and see if there are any widows who need work done on their homes, in their yards, or on their cars. Then share Christ with that dear one. Call a children's home and see if you can come out and read Bible stories and share a great Christian DVD with those who need Jesus. Call your local jail and see if they have an opening for someone to lead a Bible study. Call a sports league to see if there's a basketball or softball team that needs a coach, and then become a spiritual mentor. Call the hospital and see if you can visit the waiting rooms to hand out Christian tracts and offer spiritual support to family members and friends. I said I wasn't going to make any comment on that, but I will. I don't know what you, perhaps you think it's wonderful, but I just cringed. Absolutely cringed when I read that, all of it. If that's what the Christian life is about, then I've gone completely wrong. But you know what it's like at home and school. You know, some of us have home lists to get done, and the lists are often delayed, aren't they? Some things just disappear from the list. I was talking to someone yesterday evening who's got a list of things on their phone, and they're going through the list and they're saying, "Oh, my sister's birthday. I've forgotten to do it." Didn't you, David?
I did it.
It was a must-do, so he did it. It was on his list. Done. Fantastic. But that's going to be replaced, I'm guessing, by something else to go on a list. Because we all do that. We complete a list and we add things to it. And if we're not careful, we'll have a Christian growth list as well. List of things to do. List of things to make us better. List of things we don't want to do. We have lists of things we'll never get round to because other lists intervene and take priority over them. We can sort the list, adjust the list, add to the list, delete the list, jump up and down on the spot with a list. We're happy sometimes in that safety of having these things in front of us, that things are we are to do or things we are not to do. And so we don't look beyond our lists of do's and don'ts. And in a Christian life, we may well be content with how things are, in the safety of what we are and where we've come. We may well be content in the fact that we know that Christ has died for me, God loves me, and he will return. And we're happy with that. That's enough. We're standing still and it all working out very nicely. Let's talk beanbags. I guess like many of the men here that are married, I put out the bean bags every week for the dustmen to come and collect them. But it also means I have to replace the bin liners in the small bins that hold the rubbish. Now, I've been doing this for a long time. Now, Linda's very good because she's shown me a way of making it look much tidier. So where it overlaps the front of the bin, it's all wrapped round the back, and you don't notice it. It's fantastic. I don't want to do that. Why would I want to do that? I really don't. I've been doing it for years. It's a brilliant idea. It works. But I don't want to do it. Because I've always done it my way. That's how I do things. What's it got to do with her? But you know, I realised, eventually, this is not about bin liners, is it? It's about my relationship with my wife. Now, I don't think she's even noticed this, but the last few weeks, I've been chucking... She just totally has noticed. But she wasn't going to tell me. I've been tucking it round the back so it all looks really tidy. See, I was wrong. But it wasn't because I was doing it wrong, it's because my relationship with my wife was suffering because of the bin liners. And it's a small example that maybe you've got similar kind of experiences yourselves. And it's the same, really, that for the sake of that relationship to grow, I should listen and grow in grace. And I'm not there yet. And it's like our Christian growth. You know, we need to listen and think about it as being a relationship. But God wants more for us than just being the safety of our lists. He wants us not to just keep on going, but to keep on growing. Not just to survive, but to thrive. He has much more to give, more than we want. And standing still is not an option. You see, we read in 2 Peter, the alternative to growth is not simply staying the same as is there, it's to shrink, it's to go backwards, it's to fall away. So he says, grow. We can grow or we can fall. And the lack of growth, according to Peter, is a serious thing. And the challenging truth is that in the Christian life, if we're not growing, then we're shrinking. So growth is something we ought to do. Something we're told to do, encouraged to do, and need to do. And we often strive to grow or improve in many areas of our life. Well, I strive to improve my modelling skills or my golfing skills or go to websites for information and learn new skills. We're doing okay, but sometimes we don't want to grow. A bit like me in the bins. We've always done it that way. We'll keep on doing it that way. And amongst my list of things to do, Christian growth isn't always part of it. And I sometimes put it to one side because that's just another pressure point. It's just something else that has to be done. My third thought for this morning is we won't grow unless we want to grow. And so the question is, do you want to grow? And how can we grow? How can we want to grow? If we understand that it's not a list of do's and don'ts, what is it? But when we do understand what it is, growing as a Christian stops being a duty and becomes something delightful. It's something we want to do and something that comes naturally. Another website I looked at said this: being a Christian is not about doing or saying the right things. It is about a vital personal relationship with God. Now, to me, that hits the spot much more than the first one I came to. And when we became Christians, we were given a whole set of new relationships. Relationships in the church, new friends, new family. But the most profound of those was our relationship with God. So let's do a comparison of condition. Colossians 2. Colossians 1, it should be. Colossians 1, verses 21 and 22. Sorry, I gave you the wrong number. Did I give you the wrong
number?
Colossians 1. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour, but now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, etc. Once you were alienated from Christ, we were alienated. We were on a different planet from God. We just were nowhere near. We spurned his love. We turned from him. We refused to trust and rejected his authority, and the sinful nature that we have has its consequences, this alienation. That's condition one. We're a long, long way from God. We're too far. But look, it goes from alienation to reconciliation. He's reconciled us. And if you think and do a comparison between being alienated and far away and on a different planet, to what follows that, we are holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. That's staggering. It's absolutely staggering. It means we don't have to beat ourselves up about things we haven't done on our list. Because in Christ, we are holy, without blemish, and free from accusation. But Paul says, continue in your faith. Don't stand still. We become part of his family by realizing the wonderful nature of our living God, accepting that he will and has and does forgive, being reconciled to the majesty. And I was really thrilled with saying that song this morning. No one knew I was going to mention the word majesty in this, but it brings the whole thing into perspective. So whoever chose it, I'm really thrilled about that. So there we are, a change from being alienated from God to being reconciled to him and being looked upon in a totally different way by God. And in Romans 8, verses 14 to 17, we have a different picture. Romans 8, 14 to 17. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you didn't receive the Spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We are children of God, adopted into the family of a perfect, loving Father. When Paul says that we are co-heirs with Christ, he means we're children treated equally with Jesus. Can you imagine that? We're being treated equally with Jesus. There's no difference between how he treats his eternal son and how he treats his adopted children. If the bit from Colossians was staggering, that's quite amazing. We inherit from God the same way that Jesus does. On death or his return, we will enjoy the same closeness of love with the Father that Jesus enjoys. Every day until then, we'll be treated by God not as we deserve, but as Jesus deserves. And right now, we are in that relationship. And with these passages that we've read, we see a crucial change of emphasis. We started off by talking about lists. And if we rely upon lists of do's and don'ts, growth is all about what we can do. It's our list, and it's about us. But the passages we've read make it clear it's about not what we do, but what God has already done. And our response to him. We are children of God, so we need to understand that Christian growth is about the growth of a child in a family. We'll grow up as children in God's family, like children do in a natural family. To grow up as a Christian means that we grow closer to Jesus. It isn't about knowing your Bible better. It isn't about taking on a new ministry at church, or getting better at talking to people about Jesus, or improving prayer life. It may involve all of those things, or any of them, but that's not what it is. To grow as a Christian is to grow in our knowledge and love of him, and into a closer, deeper relationship with the one who gave his all for us on the cross. The friend who gave his life for his friends, who didn't abandon his bride, the church, when we had nothing to do with him. He is faithful, generous, good, and kind. In Hebrews chapter 2 we read, "But the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family." So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Christian growth is growing up in God's family. It's growing closer to Jesus. And the way this works is that we grow up into the likeness of Jesus. And there'll be more about that tomorrow. Just want to pray briefly, and then we're going to sing the well-known song, "And Can It Be?" So, Father God, we thank you for all that you have done for us and continue to do for us. We thank you that we do, as Christians, have a living and loving relationship with you. And we just pray that we may appreciate this and to give you thanks and praise for it. Help us as we continue to look into these things over the next few days. Help us to consider what you've said to us this morning, to talk them through, and to give you the glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.